Yeah. Okay, but the chairman who is in charge, friends, of the St. Patrick's Day parade in New York. Now, this is the fella who, when everything goes right, everybody says, that was a great parade. Now, the slightest glitch, I want to tell you, it's not amazing. I think it's, goes with the job and the territory is, when that happens, there's a reach out for our guest today, Sean Lane. And Sean, indeed, is chairman of the St. Patrick's Day and co-founder of the chief fundraising arm, the St. Patrick's Day Foundation. And Sean Lane, you're very welcome.
Adrian, thank you so much. It's a great honor to be on the show, and obviously great thanks to Anya as well. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, she wanted you on. I said, really? And you're very welcome.
Well, before I forget, I was told I have to mention that you're the Irish Presidential Distinguished Service Award recipient, because otherwise I wouldn't be let on the show. I had to give a plug for that. Congratulations again.
Thank you. I think you're about the only one who remembers that,
No, kidding aside, that's obviously an enormous, when you look at your fellow recipients, what an achievement. That really is an amazing achievement. I know you got it last year, but it's a huge honor.
Oh, Sean, thank you. And I'm, you're not making this transition very easy for me, because actually I wanted to complain about the fact that any time, or most times, when you are referred to and your Irishness, Galway jumps out. Yeah, I know, right. Well, what about your mother from the county of Mayo,
That was a very important. We went to Mayo every single weekend for years and years and years. My grandmother lived in Ballyglass.
Yeah.
And my mother's cousins, the Varleys, are still there. So, we would go there all the time, and I still talk to some of the Varleys. But that was a very important part. And my grandmother was one of the most wonderful women I've known in my entire life.
Friday Valley, she had a farm. Yeah.
Fabulous lady.
Yeah, I know. And there is a story about how you were run out of Mayo and sent back to Galway, because...
Well, I think...
Yeah. You were known to be the blackguard that many would say you still are, and you would take the hens, put them to sleep, under your arm and go around, and your good grandmother would come out and see all the hens asleep, lined up in a row. And here was this immigrant from Galway up creating all kinds of havoc. But there are many pleasant, there really are many very pleasant memories. And so many people actually who throughout Ireland, particularly in the cities and the towns, it became a great experience, an annual experience, to go spend holidays with, with the grandparents or those who had moved on to different places. However, I digress, and not a bit sorry for it, but tell us, if you will, Mr. Chairman, give us a brief history of the St. Patrick's, the New York City St. Patrick's Day Parade, starting with the first one.
Yes, so the first parade, as you know, of course, started in 1762. It was Irish soldiers serving in the British Army. And every year since then, we've had a parade, starting in 1762. So this is going to be our 262nd consecutive parade. And it's very, very important. This year's parade is going to be dedicated to food insecurity. And that's a subject that's very, very close to the hearts of the Irish. But, yeah, it's just tremendous history. Through World War I, World War II, the Civil War, the Revolution. We predate the the U.S. Constitution by 27 years, the Declaration of Independence by 14 years, but we were fortunate enough there has always been a parade since 1762, every single year. It's really been an amazing achievement.
Yeah. And when you are considering our country's, you know, official birth, wrestle from the British is 1776. That was that's quite a record and a historical fact that we're very proud of. Now, you have, and each year, not only is there great emphasis and bordering on anxiety as to who the Grand Marshal is. Tell us about this year's Grand Marshal.
Yeah, so Kevin Conway, very, very successful businessman, Wall Street businessman. He's the vice chairman of Clayton Dubilier Rice. It's a major global private equity firm. And he's also very, very active on the community side. He's on the board of Catholic Health Services in Long Island, which is a wonderful organization. You may know of. It's an incredible hospital system.
Yes, indeed.
And then, of course, Catholic Charities in the city, amongst a whole bunch of others. And his wife, Dee, obviously is right there with him. He couldn't do what he does without his wonderful wife, Dee, no more than yourself. If Anya wasn't there pulling the strings behind you, you wouldn't be able to move.
Yeah. He's already, on obligatory, pre St. Patrick's Day, speaking many events. But anybody who's heard him, has said, "Oh my God, he is so proud of his Irishness," and indeed he has supported, throughout his career so many organizations and whatever. He's paid his dues, and I'm sure that as he has acknowledged himself, this is the greatest award indeed that anybody can can receive, and particularly for Irish Americans. Now, tell us about the much sought after in terms of getting tickets or getting a space coming up on February 26th. You have it's a Grand Marshal and AIDS, the installation reception, and we'll get to the AIDS in a moment. But this is your main fundraising event for the year, and it's coming up again.
It's our main community event. The Foundation Gala actually is the fundraiser, but this is very, very, very important, as you touched on, the reception for the Grand Marshal and the AIDS, which is in Anton's in Queens Village, February 26th at 3 p.m., is very, very important because it's an army, as you know, in the parade. I mean, we could have anywhere from 150 to 250,000 marchers and, over 200 affiliated groups and as many as 170 bands in the parade. And that takes an enormous amount of organization. So this is our most important community event, the reception for the AIDS and the Grand Marshal. And as you mentioned, the AIDS, they're honorees, obviously, as well. And they tend to be representative of the broad swath of the marching groups within the parade. And we do have a wonderful group of people this year, some really, truly magnificent individuals, and each of them are honorees in their own right.
Absolutely. And they are chosen. By the county, the various counties, that they represent, If I can rattle off some of them here, and if I leave one out, I'll blame you for it. There's Sean Claffey,
yes,
you know, Father Brian McCarthy, Mark Edwards, Robert John J. E. Murphy, Michael McKeever, Dennis Toll, John O'Brien, Mary Sexton, Agnes O'Leary, Peter Van, what is it, Slick?
Slick.
Okay. And, you know, Rita Lyons, Lydon, Pat Lynch, John Dooley, Joe Brady, Bishop Edmund J. Whalen. Now, again, very prominent supporter of the St. Patrick's Day Parade. And the Fire Department, City of New York, is the Deputy Chief, Paul Mannix. And for the New York Police Department, you know, Lieutenant Karen Margaret M. McCormack. I didn't intentionally, in the interest of time, I gave the list of aides to the Grand Marshal without identifying, you know, the various counties that they represent. But the installation itself is something like, you know, we've said, both of us agreed, it is a very, very significant and wonderful event, and it takes place, you know, again every year before St. Patrick's Day. What, I'm sorry I cut you off there, but then you never recognized.
No, that's fine. I was going to say, if you wanted, I could give you a couple of quick updates of what's different this year, or some of the things we've done, if you wanted to, but tell me.
No.
Yeah, so the three updates.
I'm only sitting here, and my job is to let the guests speak, and I'm not good at it, so go ahead.
Well, the three updates, just for the, you know, things that are different this year, obviously with the Grand Marshal we'll touch on in a second, but we more than doubled the scholarships this year. We had 9 last year. Now we're going to do 20 this year for the parade community. And the goal is to get to 50 within the next 5 years, and then 100, because really that's a main focus for the parade. And then, you know, another update, thanks to the tremendous generosity of the Grand Marshal, Kevin Conway, and his wife, Dee, and working with the St. Patrick's Day Foundation, we've dedicated a pew in St. Patrick's Cathedral to the men and women of the St. Patrick's Day community and the parade community. And that's so important. I mean, the cathedral obviously opened in 1879. The parade itself has been on Fifth Avenue since 1888. So that's the very heart of the parade. And as you know, a great high point of the day is the Mass in the cathedral. That's very, very important to us. And then the other thing, as I touched on briefly before, food insecurity. You know, the gala is March 15th in the Sheraton in New York Times Square. And we're going to be supporting, you know, Catholic Charities, City Harvest, City Meals on Wheels, just with our net proceeds, because that's something that means a lot to the Irish, as you know, with the famine, food insecurity. And it's hard to imagine that a country of this tremendous wealth and success still has people that don't have enough to eat every day.
And it's fantastic. And the scholarships, very, very important and very significant indeed, particularly, you know, as we look forward to the, you know, not only the existence, but it takes a lot, you know, for those who think, well, this St. Patrick's Day Parade in New York, the oldest, the largest parade, sure, it runs anyway, but it is a wildly expensive, despite all your all the volunteers that have spent a lifetime there, there are huge expenses, you know, that are associated with St. Patrick's Day itself.
It's very true. I mean, the insurance premiums have actually skyrocketed. The accounting expenses have gone up. You know, and then we have the stands, the television, you know, when you add it up together, it's quite a great expense at this point, but it's so important. I mean, it's absolutely vital that, you know, as I said, 262 years in a row celebrating Irish faith, heritage, and culture. And as you know, in 1762, when the parade started, we weren't allowed to have any celebration of Irish faith, heritage, or culture in Ireland because we were under British rule. The first parade in Ireland was in 1931. You know, it wasn't a priority, obviously, with the Free State. It was a question of getting the infrastructure of government set up when Ireland got its independence. But 1931 was the first St. Patrick's Day parade in Dublin.
Wow. I know. And many would find that difficult to, you know, to believe, you know, but that's true. Emulating the St. Patrick's Day parade in New York has been the goal of many organizations throughout the world, but the ancient order of Hibernians, what role does that organization play in, again, in producing and supporting the St. Patrick's Day parade?
Well, they no longer have an active role. They did for many, many years. They ran the parade. I'm a member of the AOH for Nassau County myself, for many, many years they ran the parade. They don't do so anymore. It's a board. There's the board of the New York City St. Patrick's Day Parade, which is representative of the wide community. And then there's a parade community as well, or I should say, there's a group that represents the parade as well as a subset of the parade board, a parade committee. Include your daughter is actually on it, Eileen. Eileen is fabulous. She's also one of our foundation board members. And as you know, that lady has unbelievable organizational skills. She's a huge asset to us. But the St. Patrick's Day Committee, which is a subset of the board of community members, is charged with running the parade itself. And your daughter is a member of that.
Yeah. And we're delighted about that, actually, because it gets her out of our hair for at least a month out of the year.
I don't know how she does all she does, to be quite honest with you. I mean, as you know, she volunteers for a wider range and does a lot for different. She's not somebody to just stand there or put something on the bio in the CV. She's actually, and the only thing is she's very shy and she's afraid to speak her mind.
That's right. And most times she manages to drag me down with her. You know, it's great.
I would say in spite of her father, she's very successful. That's the way I would put it. It's in spite of her humble upbringing.
Sean, I want to take us through, or you to take us through the pandemic, area, and the first major setback for the St. Patrick's Day parade. Again, there was little acknowledgement. You know, that COVID was a pandemic. And, the parade, almost like in the middle of the night before the parade to start, that must have been, a walking and living nightmare, not only for you as chairman, but also for the parade committee, as not just New York City, but particularly New York City, went into immediate shock that all of a sudden this pandemic was something that was going to ground, all of us. We'd have to stay inside the door and
you make an excellent point. And of course, you know, as you're aware, March 11th, 2020, we were just as the pandemic was starting to seriously pick up steam. It was starting to get seriously dangerous. And that happened to be the day we actually had the gala that night. Very few people, a lot of people didn't turn up. There'd been many tables, but the character of New York had changed just that week. The first week of March, there was a huge difference because the numbers were starting to come out. The medical professionals were talking, and we were talking on the board as to whether or not we weren't sure if we'd be forced to postpone or cancel the parade because we were very, very concerned. You know, we were looking for guidance from the mayor and from healthcare professionals But I did happen to get a call March 11th in the morning of that day from former Grand Marshal Michael Dowling, who's an incredibly accomplished individual, as you know, the CEO of Northwell Health. And he had said he had serious reservations about whether or not the parade would go forward. And he's a genius. I mean, nobody knows healthcare in the world better than Michael Dowling. But and then sure enough, that evening, I got a call from the governor, and the governor said that he was afraid he was going to have to postpone the parade indefinitely, you know, until we found out more about the about the pandemic. But we were still able to have, we had our symbolic parade every year during the pandemic. You know, we did have it in 2020, and we had it in 2021. And that was in no small part thanks to Michael Dowling, former Grand Marshal Jim Callahan, who was the longest-serving Grand Marshal in St. Patrick's Day Parade history, 3 years, president of the International Union of Operating Engineers, an amazing individual. He, these guys were very helpful. And, of course, your cousin Brian. All of these three Grand Marshals were very, very well connected between City Hall and Albany, and they helped to ensure that the, you know, this, our city leaders, our politicians got comfortable with the idea of allowing us to have a token parade in 2020 and 2021 with groups that were wearing masks, and we had medical advice, and we social distanced and everything. But it was just important from a progression standpoint that we maintain, you know, our 260th and 261st, or I should say 259th and 260th parade during the pandemic. And then, as you know, last year, we were the largest public event in the entire world since the start of COVID last year. So the whole world's eyes were on us. But, you know, as the Grand Marshal put it, we reopened the world because they saw that there was no spike. And that was a serious concern because, as you know, in the parade, we're full of first responders. You just mentioned some of the aides to the Grand Marshal. We've got the NYPD. We've got the fire department. We have the 69th Regiment, the New York National Guard that often serve as first responders for a wide variety of uses in New York. We have doctors, nurses, teachers, students. So it could have been a real disaster at the start. You know, and the authorities did make the right decision in terms of allowing it. They allowed us to have a very, very small parade symbolically, but to delay the major parade. And then, as I said, thank God, last year there were some glitches here and there. It wasn't perfect by any means because people were still very concerned about COVID at the time. But it worked out. You know, we had our first full parade. It was really wonderful.
Absolutely. Now, especially, well, some of organizations, and this is sometimes a touchy subject, which, as you know, I avoid at all costs, but there are some... There are some organizations, not to mention, you know, the hospitality area, the restaurants, you know, the bars in particular, who did not survive the pandemic. And again, without delving into... you know, something we'd prefer to skip over. There was tremendous, you know, support in the Irish community to get through this, to get past this. And there were indeed, you know, some concerns that after the pandemic, getting the St. Patrick's Day Parade, the New York City St. Patrick's Day Parade, back to where it was going to be very serious stuff. How was that transition handled? And were there some organizations that say, oh, God, we're not able to meet the demands that it takes to put everything back to, you know, to put Humpty Dumpty together again?
Yes, and you make a good point. Obviously, not everybody, and even there was quite a few organizations that affiliated last year, and then out of heightened concern, didn't show up. But, you know, when you mentioned particularly the service sector, that's very close to my heart. I worked as a barman myself for 7 years. I worked my way through college and worked for the great Mayo man, Austin Delaney, here in New York. And my brother worked for Austin for 20 years. So, and that's obviously a huge, huge sector of great importance to the Irish was the service sector. You know, coming out, working in the hotels, the restaurants, and the bars, we all did it, as you know. That's very, very important. But yes, some of the organizations last year, even though some of them, many of them had affiliated, they didn't show up. And that was understandable because, you know, we had many older members of our groups, some truly wonderful people, and we'd rather that they take care of their health first, because they're very important to the parade. But most organizations did march last year, and everybody is affiliated this year to march. So we're expecting a very big turnout. Hopefully the weather will cooperate with us this year.
Now, okay, finally want to, you know, let a lot of people, our listeners, and indeed friends of our listeners, know that in addition to, you know, your very significant event coming up again in Anton's, on Sunday the 26th of February, is there a way that people who look on the history, look back on the history and the significance of the St. Patrick's Day Parade, to help financially in making sure that not only, you know, does the parade continue, but it seems to me like you have kind of mentioned some very high bar, you know, goals, particularly, again, with the scholarships and how the money is distributed to organizations, particularly those in need.
You make an excellent point. So, yes, absolutely. And you can make donations of any size, really. You can go to the New York City St. Patrick's Day Parade website. You can Google that. It'll take you straight to the website. Or, you know, as I said, our primary fundraising vehicle is the St. Patrick's Day Foundation. And that's stpatricksdayfoundation.org. We have our gala March 15th if somebody wanted to purchase a ticket or just make a donation. Yeah. It would be hugely appreciated by us. But, yes, the affiliation fees are really just a token. They don't even cover our accounting expenses.
Right.
So the parade has to be very heavily supplemented, but it's extremely important. You know, there's a lot of these small Irish organizations that have great, very, very rich history. Some of them are hundreds of years old, and we want to make sure that they stay involved. So the parade has to be very heavily subsidized. And that's why we do so much fundraising. But yeah, and why, so if you go to stpatricksdayfoundation.org, you'll be able to contribute, either just make a direct donation is usually appreciated, or our gala happens to be March 15th, and it's really going to be wonderful. We've got Eileen Ivers is going to be the entertainment, and as I mentioned, that our net proceeds are going to go towards food insecurity.
That is great, and in the meantime, many of us try to avoid eye contact, you know, with your co-founder there, Hillary Byrne. He'd be a good person to stay in.
Hillary's a great guy. Yeah, no, it's... I know when you if you take the high road in a conversation in County Mayo, you're not going to meet a lot of traffic. I know that.
Yeah.
You'd be on your own. I'm bail bucked. You're the master agent.
Yeah, Mayo, God help us. Yes. Okay. Listen, it's great. And again, to have, you know, that to recoup from, you know, excuse the pun, from the pandemic and put the, you know, the St. Patrick's Day Parade not only on solid ground, but actually with not only back to pre-pandemic success, but growing. Sean, you have a great job, and we will not, indeed, you won't get any thanks if it goes as well as it's supposed to, but we will remember, you know, if there's any glitch whatsoever, you know, that it's not from your mother's county side. You have to blame, you know, your father's for that. Now, New York St. Patrick's day.org. Is that the best website?
Yes, that's for the parade itself, or you can go to stpatricksdayfoundation.org, either one, NYC St. Patrick's Day Parade or St. Patrick's Day Parade or patricksdayfoundation.org. And again, Adrian, it's due to people like yourself and Anya. As I said, the parade is an enormous army of people marching, but it all comes from the efforts of people like yourself and Anya, your family, the Mayo Society, the Galway Society, all these 200 affiliated organizations that it's made up of, and it's people like you that are the reason that we're able to continue so successfully and snap right back after such a major disaster with the pandemic. So thank you again. I can't thank you enough, and Anya. And as I said, your daughter Eileen, we owe a huge thanks to as well. She's really magnificent.
That's thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. And friends, our guest there, Sean Lane, chairman of the St. Patrick's Day Parade, the New York St. Patrick's Day Parade, again, always and ever celebrated on the day itself. And St. Patrick's Day this year is on Friday. Again, that's a reason for celebration of a long weekend. We have, indeed, we're going to go directly to Ireland, well, in a minute or so, because Anya's chatting up Kevin O'Connor.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Adrian.